it, angels, and welcome back to another charmingly insane episode of Tales of Taboo. For anyone who is new here after listening to my recent guest slots on Sheena Shea or Katie Maloney's podcast or the slot I did on The Laughing Couple, welcome. It means the world to me that you're taking the time to listen to my show, which, if I'm being honest, is a lot less kosher than theirs, despite me being a New York Jew, not to mention my off-brand Fran Drescher voice. And on that note, I guess I should probably introduce myself properly. I'm sorry to those of you who have heard it 100 times before. My name is Allie Weiss. I am a Z-list writer, on-air host, and performer born and raised in downtown Manhattan, the cultural epicenter of all things weird and wonderful. And this is probably why I've had a lifelong obsession with all people, experiences, careers, and ideas that are outside the bounds of what society considers traditionally acceptable or quote-unquote normal. This can range from topics that are objectively subculture to ones that really should not be taboo, like women's reproductive rights. And here's how it works. Usually each week I'll put out a casting on Instagram for people who have a particular unconventional life experience. And they will then share those with me totally anonymously via voice note or written submission. But every once in a while, my own deeply strange life will lead me to meeting people, either somewhat or totally in the public eye, who proudly lead lives that are controversial and unusual. And I'll have them come on to the show to do a one-on-one, on-the-record interview with me. So in the past, this has included high-end escort Vivian Cole. We've had bikini and sometimes nude model Anna Herron, mind reader, literal mind reader Jason Surin, and pop culture commentator and Instagram darling Evan Ross Katz. So the hope here is that by having rebels put a name and face to their stories, it will inspire those of you with stories to tell as well, but fear of societal judgment to embrace your most colorful, weirdest, wildest self. And it is really no exaggeration to say that producing Tales of Taboo and gaining your trust and listenership in the process is the honor of my life. So on that note, I am beyond stoked to introduce this week's episode. Recently, I have been going back into the archives of my old podcast, Health is Hell, and re-releasing a selection of episodes with stories that I'm either really proud of or that still feel relevant. In the earliest days of Health is Hell, as those of you who have been listening for a long time will know, the show had a very sensationalist, comedic, rowdy format. And for a while, I co-hosted it with my friend Graham, who's also a native New Yorker and absolutely hilarious. And we had the time of our lives doing this, probably because we were mostly unemployed and very slutty and often drunk in the afternoon. But to be honest, even more honest than that, listening to myself from this era of my life and work, I think I was, 24, 25, it immediately makes my butthole clench. Like, immediately my body just constipates, if that's a verb. Any person who leads even a mildly exciting life is a complete idiot throughout their early and mid-20s. So in that sense, like, whatever. But unfortunately, my many identity crises have been recorded and observed by 20-something thousand people at any given time. I was just so, like, unhappy and insecure and lonely, and at that point, still recovering from the barstool mass internet bullying. And I thought the solution was to position myself as the female Howard Stern, right? Like, be so out there and loud and obnoxious and shocking that I appeared indestructible, and that anything anyone had to say about me, I had already said about myself, you know? So I was desperado. I was totally desperado. Like, you could smell my mania from 5 blocks and 2 avenues away. I was a pick me before there was even a phrase for it. And honestly, bless Graham. I remember during this time, I would always have some sort of manic depressive episode and then go on a trip somewhere with all the money I was saving by living with my parents and come back and endlessly tell him that, like, I felt the best I'd ever felt. And then the same thing would happen in 2 months' time. So like, bless him for being so tolerant of that, especially since Graham is a little bit older and even at that point knew much more about life than I did. I also didn't give him enough credit. As you'll hear, for someone who is in no way, shape, or form in entertainment, he was such a natural interviewer and at ease in the weird recording studio environment. I just learned so much about myself as a person and an entertainer during this time. So it's so special to listen back to these early episodes. And Graham is married now, lives a pretty normal life in Brooklyn with his adorable and very charismatic wife. And I, well, at least I don't live with my parents anymore. You know, baby steps, people. Anyway, all of this is to say that if you've ever struggled or are currently struggling with who you are, I see you, I feel you, I am you, and you can always come and listen to these old episodes to make yourself feel better. Also, even if you don't feel it, like, you are growing and changing as a person. That never stops, even as we enter the age range of being a so-called adult. If you want to track your growth, consider starting a subculture podcast and getting an audience for it and just praying to God that they don't judge you for what a fucking moron you are. Anyway, the most important thing to note about this episode is not my youthful obnoxiousness, but instead our guests, Elise and Danielle. They are the identical twin duo that make up the synthwave band Mother Mary. Absolutely love them. Total icons. So hot, so talented, and genuinely really lovely people. I met Elise at one of the strangest acting gigs of my life, which literally took place in a graveyard, and you'll hear us talk about that. And we became fast friends. But before becoming burgeoning pop stars, the twins grew up Mormon in a family of 12 in Montana. And then they escaped together. So it was such an honor to have them come into the studio and tell us all the dirty details about the famously controversial religion, which they had an incredible sense of humor about somehow. This is one of the funniest and most enlightening interviews I've ever done, and I hope you enjoy listening to their stories as much as I did. Real quick and friendly reminder, Tales of Taboo merch is available on my website, allieweisworld.com/merch. We've got super cozy sweatshirts and super campy, sexy thongs, and I recently put both of them on sale so everyone can join the fun. A lot of you asked for more affordable merch. I hear you. I listened. Let's all join the party. And now, without further ado, this is Tales of Taboo. We have to start with a little bit of background about how you and I even met in the first place, which was in a cemetery. And
Oh my god, do you not remember? Okay, no, but of course I do. But it was just like a weird, it was such a weird way to meet someone that, I know, like, it's not like, yeah, it was like in a different part of my brain.
So we showed up to a cemetery at like, what, 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, and immediately we're told that we were gonna have full zombie prosthetics put on our
vampire
faces.
But it was like, yeah, but it was like zombie vampire, it was, yeah, like the creepiest,
it was really
vampire.
Bizarre,
it was not sexy.
This was
vampire
for a shoot.
This was for A&E Channel, had some sort of like weird reality show where, yes, like significant others prank their significant others. So we didn't know each other and both showed up and we were like, hey, are you here to be like a vampire? And she's like, yeah, are you here to be a vampire? And I was like, yeah. And the next thing you know, we're in 2 hours of like heavy, horrendously ugly prosthetics. But you go through that with somebody and by the end of the day, you're like, hey, yeah, we're like,
that's
down.
A bond. Oh, we create a bond.
Yeah.
We're
like, oh yeah. No, after that.
After that. And then on top of
the
it.
Trenches together.
Exactly. And like literally like in a crypt, like we spent half the day in the crypt. So the icing, yeah, on the cake to that was then her telling me, I forget how it came up, but you know, we were like shooting the shit about our backgrounds, whatever. And she's like, oh yeah, I'm a musician, I live in Brooklyn. Oh, and by the way, like, I escaped a Mormon background. And I was like, wait, hold on, what? Like, we are in prosthetics and we're in a crypt? Like, rewind. So the good news is that when you eventually did tell me about it, which I think was the next time we hung out, we drank a lot, so I don't really remember it. Mm. And now I have you here with your sister so we can get 2 points of view,
yes,
on this subject. But like, holy shit, am I excited to talk about this.
We are too. Yeah. It's literally all the time. I think we like literally laugh. We actually, last night I asked her to tell me a story from Mormonism that I find hilariously funny.
Wait, like a Mormon bedtime like, story?
I still find this shit funny yeah, because it's so funny. Weird. Yeah. Like, because like we truly had a paradigm shift. Like we truly like went from believing, you know, the world was black and white to like realizing that it was like full spectrum color.
Let's start from the beginning, yeah. Please. So like take us to the very beginning.
So yeah, we're identical twins. We are the youngest of 11.
Whoa!
Wait, 11. Shut up, what? 11.
And the youngest too, so the bomb was early.
Yeah, so basically, long story short, my dad, he got married, had 5 kids, went through a crazy divorce, got custody of all 5 kids, met my mom, who was like 30, had never been married before. She's like, oh, good idea to marry a man with 5 kids.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy.
Takes all these kids. And then she's like, and I want 6 more. So they had 6 more kids, and she had 4 boys in a row, and she wanted girls, and I guess they just prayed so hard to Jesus, they got 2.
So, and what happened to the woman that he divorced out of the picture?
Carol, yeah, she did her thing.
She's still a member of the church and everything.
No, she left. I don't think she attends the religion.
No, she totally left. She doesn't believe in it anymore.
Yeah, because I think she had committed adultery. But also, I don't know Carol very well.
Shout out to Carol.
Carol, if you're listening.
I heard this is all hearsay from my family that apparently
all love.
Yeah.
You know.
So we grew up in Montana as well. I don't think we mentioned
Montana?
That. Missoula.
Okay.
So,
that's like
it's kind of a cool
hippie
town,
right?
College town. Luckily we weren't like super isolated. You know, like we didn't grow up with many Mormon friends. Like most of our friends were non-religious.
How many kids in the house at the time of year?
Oh, we always had like 8 kids.
Oh my god!
My parents would like take other kids in too. It was crazy.
It was like our house
lived with like our niece who was older than us for many years, and like
Okay, so can you paint a picture? Like, was it kind of like farmish land? So you did not live within a large community.
We had an acre,
then.
Or was it a half acre?
So we had an acre, and so we did. We had horses, we had cows, we had pigs, and there was like a farm behind us, but no, we weren't like, so people like,
we're not
when
like
you,
ranchers.
Yeah, when you talk about Mormons and in general, people think of like, you know, dressing in olden day clothes and like horse and carriage and things like that.
Yeah.
And that's
a little
that's
Amish
more like,
style.
Amish-ish. Yeah, that's like, wait, is this like, not the people who don't use like, electricity? No, not necessarily. That's like, so I'd say the closest to that is the FRLDS, so it's the Fundamental Reformed Latter-day Saints, blah, blah, blah. So it's like a small offsect that does kind of
the Mormon religion, and they do still practice polygamy. And
so that would
is not allowed to, but they are
the
allowed to in heaven.
Oh wow!
Wait, hold on.
Not on Earth.
So you die, and then once you die, you're allowed to have as many wives as you want.
Well, but also, I can't
even on
have.
Earth, no, like,
but
so
of course you're not allowed to have as many husbands as you
like,
want.
For
right?
For example, if a guy is married and his wife dies, he can be when you're Mormon, you get sealed to someone for eternity.
Whoa.
And so if his wife dies, then and he marries another wife and gets sealed to her for eternity, then and he could just keep dying, and he could just marry like 50 women and
do
be sealed to all of them.
Their wives,
but women cannot do that.
So you're
women
a widow forever.
So if you're,
or can you remarry?
You can remarry for
only
time,
for life,
but not for eternity. If you're a woman, but if you're a man,
the church will allow that.
Many
so
as you
so let me ask you on a scale from like 0, not extreme at all, or non-believer to 10 being the most extreme, where did your family fall?
Okay, it's so hard to say because... Yeah. Okay, so my mom is like a 10 or a 9.
Oh, so she's like
my
really?
Dad was like a 7 or maybe even a 6 sometimes.
Kind of were a little bit, our family was like a little bit of an outcast in our ward. We were kind of, because
like
all our brothers
kids.
Were like the bad boys of the town.
Okay.
The Wynn boys were like infamous, so it was, we were kind of pushed out of the clique.
Okay, you know? Mormon bad boy. Sorry, I have to stop you right there. Like, need some more details about
okay,
that.
Okay, our
so
brothers
what is, like,
dig
Mormon,
into some trouble.
What is
though.
Like Mormon? But was this like bad by Mormon
standards
or
drinking
just bad?
And drugging or what were they?
They like they definitely you know they did drugs and they got arrested and like all right,
so
lots
they're
of crazy shit happened
like,
out of our basement. Yeah. And,
so they were non-believers then, or.
Well, it's
on
kind
and
of
off,
funny.
On
ready
and
to
off.
Repent when they had to.
Like sometimes it's a really weird thing where like. And I will say I kind of understand because there was definitely moments like even as a child me being like a you know a part of my brain would be like, you don't really believe this. and then the scared, like, shitless part of me was like,
yeah,
don't leave, you'll go to hell on earth forever, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, now they don't believe. But, okay. Yeah, I think then it was kind of was like, they weren't sure.
Like, yeah, like, one day they'd be like, you know, fuck this shit. And they're doing their own thing, and they're sneaking out, and they're doing drugs with their friends. And then I remember, like, I have these vivid memories of, like, up at our lake cabin, like, you know, my parents would have had, like, a, I don't know, some super religious talk, and then my brothers would be like, girls, promise me you'll never leave.
That's guilt creeping in. Oh my God, guilt creeping in.
Okay, because I can't. I'm lost. Like, I've gone too far, but you girls are good.
Yeah.
You can stay.
That is crazy.
Remember, like, pressure.
Yo, that's, like, shocking.
Yeah.
All right, so you're living in the house. How old are you? Like, you start, when he's saying this stuff to you, you're kind of getting that thought.
When, like, the devil possesses
head.
You a little
bit. Exactly.
Yeah. God, I remember, like, from a young age, I mean, the first time I ever masturbated, I was like, no, but I like it.
And so what age is that?
Eight?
I remember that's early.
That we were masturbating, early. But actually masturbating. Like, I'm not masturbating. This is something else. I'm
just, you were just like rolling around your bed.
And you're like, go to whatever.
Yeah, or like you go to like wipe yourself after you pee and then you hit something and you're like,
what?
Yeah, that's definitely what happened to me when I was like very young. And then I was like, wait, I don't want to stop wiping myself.
I had like,
oh my God, which leads me to a burning question. Okay, I'm sorry that I'm getting so crazy right now, but I have heard that Mormons will, like, excuse anal because it's not proper vaginal sex.
I mean, like, not, like, if you go to your bishop, he's not, because, I mean, that's
bishop, I've had a penis in my asshole.
I feel like,
okay.
I feel like they would they be, like, know about, you know, about anal completely.
Anything. But I feel like you do, people get crazy and they start justifying anything. You know, just like I was justifying, like, I'm not masturbating, I'm, like, sitting on a jet ski that's rumbling.
Right.
Like,
right.
You gotta find some peace in it when you're, like, going crazy and thinking about it.
You're like, sorry, I think that could happen for sure. Like, I haven't heard of anyone specifically doing that.
In college, you know, there's, like, all these terms, like, soaking and, like,
seeing parties
and things like that.
Okay, elaborate. Okay. Both of us are
what is a seeing party?
So we got. I went to an all Mormon school.
Did you go to BYU?
I went to. Yeah. There's three campuses. I went to the one in Idaho.
Okay.
So like the whole justifying because we went to the soaking and everything. And what that is basically is another way that Mormons dating try to justify not actually having sex. And yes, some are like, oh, but is butt's different. It's a different hole. It's okay and whatever. Also, what some would do is they, like, soaking is where the guy puts his penis in the vagina, and they just lay there.
You don't move.
Yo,
you don't move.
Time
like, you don't
out.
Come. You just lay
second.
Naked. Yeah.
And this, so, when you say soaking.
Just soaking his penis.
Oh,
like
and,
Lord,
and this
you know?
Would just, and you do that with, like, your boyfriend
I never did it, but it's definitely,
that was common.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I feel like, how can that, because once you're doing that, you're
going
to be
in there, all you want is what?
You got to, like, do a little, you know, you're
how
moving a little bit.
Apparently, it was a thing. Apparently, some people, I was like, I don't know, to me, I'm like, that was dumb. I was like, once I got that far, I was like, it's over.
Yeah,
it's
you're
in
pounding.
There. Like, it's,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's,
yeah, we're,
I'm
we're
sorry,
having
but
sex.
Like, this is, I'm not an idiot. This is sex. But apparently, I never knew anyone who admitted to this, but this was like rumors and like on those like, you know, anonymous like chat sites for college or whatever.
Yeah.
I never really used them, but people would tell me that there was like seeing parties where people would just go and like everyone gets naked and they don't touch each other, but they just look.
Very tantric.
You know?
That's
kind
of hot to me.
I would attend a Mormon seeing party and get very aroused. Love that.
But this was a way to just like release some of that tension.
It was so tense. They're so sexually tense on this campus that
how did you even get near?
You would hug a man and he would get a boner.
Yo.
And so men would hug you like with meaning away.
And that's what I have to
away.
Fucking say, because it's like, you know, like religious people and Republicans don't realize that like they're actually, I mean, they're making people be sexually deviant because they're creating, like, if you're like, don't think of an elephant, the first thing you think of
is an elephant.
Yeah.
So if I'm being told, don't think about sex all day long, all I'm thinking about is sex.
Right.
So having like wet dreams every single night.
Right, of course.
And
we all want to be
years.
And then
feeling
guilty
the next day.
And then feeling guilty that I had a wet dream.
But yeah. Literally orgasming in the middle of the night because I'm so, like, the tension.
We're so sexually repressed and the sexual tension
is
so high.
Do people make like Mormon themed porn about all this? Is this like a big topic of like fetish?
Check it out, guys.
I had some friends that had porn, so I'd watch porn like in middle school, but then I found out that my brother had porn, and let me tell you, it was like,
what kind of porn was
like
he
a
watching?
Secret agent. Like, I was so, it was usually, I always tried to find, it was so funny, it was like hiding from me. I always wanted to find the girl on girl porn because he had one.
Yeah.
But every time I would grab that disc and I'd put it in, and I was always so disappointed because it was always a fucking like Western with like a girl getting lifted up on the counter and like a guy eating her. I was like, fuck this. I saw two women eating each other. Where's that one? I want to see that. And, like,
so to clarify, you guys had a lot of guilt, but you did have access to like mainstream media.
Yeah.
Like you did. Yes. You were surrounded by this.
No, he didn't have any security measures on the computers.
And we went to a public school too.
My parents were not.
We did. We saw a lot that most Mormons would never have seen.
Like young children probably shouldn't see.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah. And so speaking of aha moments though, like I'm dying to know. When did you guys finally start to think like, oh my God, like I need to leave. Like we have got to get the fuck out of here.
Okay, so Danielle, she actually went to BYU first and I went to University of Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really missed her and my parents were like obviously pushing me to go to BYU. So I applied and like I got a scholarship. We both got scholarships. Like, you know, they give you huge scholarships because they want you to go to this Mormon church.
Yeah.
And so I went and I did like a semester and I just felt like, so at this point, like, you know, I had sex with my like boyfriend in high school and I was, but I had, I'd repented and I was like going to the bishop about it. Like,
that's wild.
So, you know, like, the rest of my life, like I'd always felt like I was a bad Mormon or whatever. And so I went to BYU. I was like, you know what? And I had a lot of doubts and stuff. I was like, but I'm going to really see. Like,
I'm turning it around.
I'm going to do it perfectly.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm
going to do exactly what I'm supposed to do. Like, I went to the bishop. I did everything he said. And I just, like, fell into the worst depression of my life.
I felt like we couldn't really even speak and talk about things because she was in that scenario.
We couldn't be honest with each other.
And then I couldn't be
honest
with her because I had been dating... So I was married. We'll get to that. But
I was waiting for you to mention that.
Yeah.
So I had been dating him for like almost a year. And can you imagine? Can you guys imagine being like 19 and dating someone for that long and not having sex?
No. It just wouldn't happen.
I mean, we did everything you could other than, you know,
so
like
you're
dry
blowing
humping,
him,
lots
you're
of ass eating before ass eating was
hit. I didn't blow him and he didn't go down.
What?
Until we were married. And yeah, because he
did. Oh, so this is the dude that
also,
you married.
He, like, this is the dude that I did marry, but also then he like fucking so much sexual energy and we were like talking because we were like gonna maybe get engaged or something and you just, so, I can't describe the pressure you have. Like,
yeah.
From the time you start dating,
imagine,
people are like,
yeah,
when are you getting married? When are you getting married?
Jesus,
everyone was like,
how unhealthy.
What is this? I had my bishop call me in and be like, are you gonna get married to Sean soon? Like,
because
we've been dating so long. Called me in and we had like a talk.
Oh, man. So they're just like very much a part of your social life, your
entire society, like
personal life.
People telling you, they talk to you, they encourage your roommates to watch you and to then tell the bishop they see you doing
so
something.
You have to be very careful. That's why you're not telling maybe your sister or your friends.
We had a roommate that would wait up for us to make sure we got home before curfew.
Oh, what a narc.
Yeah.
Yo, that is crazy.
If you got there 2 minutes like
before
12.
We got there like 4 minutes before 12 and she's like, you guys, I know that you're here before 12, but you're really, what did she say? It's like, you're really on the edge, you know? You don't want to be that close to the edge.
What did you say? Yeah. What would you say to her?
She was
yes,
like,
Diane, I'm sorry.
It's like Big Brother, you know?
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
like, because we're in 1984, you can't
just
say anything
yeah,
to her.
I was just like,
you're just like,
good night.
Okay, yeah.
Have
night.
A good night.
Well, when we start touring with this podcast, the first stop is BYU. And if they
we're
don't
going
want
to Provo.
Us, we are literally going on that campus.
Yeah.
And we're
going
to be like, hi, we're here to perform for the students.
We're going to Provo, Utah.
Yeah.
I'm stoked. We'll come, please. I'm so stoked.
Help. Yeah, exactly.
So Sean and I, like, that was my boyfriend at the time.
Dating a year.
We were dating, like, almost a year at this point.
Gotcha.
And we're like talking about the sex that we will have, you know. And then I was like, I'm a no butt girl, like exit only, you know. I was like so dumb, like now I love it. But then I was like, no way.
You.
And he was like, well, you can do a doggy style without going up the butt. And I was like, what? And so then we reenacted it with our clothes on.
No.
Reenacted it.
Oh my
Stop
God. We had
it.
A doggy
and
style
then,
dry hump.
And then we had sex.
Yeah.
Like,
obviously.
Yeah. And, where it was going.
So once he blew his load, was he just like, I'm going to hell?
Basically, yeah. Did you guys cry afterwards? Like, I cried after.
So after you had sex with Sean, is that when you were like, okay, like maybe I experienced a dick and it's time to get out?
Yeah, I was like, holy shit. Like, he knew. And like, the reason I was dating him, like, he was one of the only people that like I could talk to about the fact that I had a lot of doubts and I wasn't sure about this religion. Yeah. And so the fact that he kind of felt the same way, I was like, we latched on to each other, you know? And once that happened, yeah, I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I maybe got to get out of here. But then he went and told the bishop.
No.
Because he felt so guilty. He had ratted. Been on a mission.
Yeah.
He ratted on me. Rat. But then, like, also probably, I think, just wanted to get married. So, you know, poor guy, he could start fucking. He was, like, 22 or 23 at the time. And
he didn't know. He didn't know who he was, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so the bishop was, like, basically, without fully coming out and saying it, basically gave me an ultimatum. Like, I was on a full ride scholarship. I had finished a year of school. And he was like, well, it's against the honor code. You sign. And so he was like, you know, like, I would have been like, I'm still like, this is all I know. This is the world I know, the paradigm I know, my friends, my family, my community, professors I look up to. Everyone subscribes to this that I love and care about. And I'm like on the edge of get kicked out of school and sent home. I would lose everything. I would lose my scholarship. I would lose
all your credits.
All my credits.
Because they make them untransferable.
You have to realize this is criminal. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I'd lose everything that I had done and be sent home, and you're not guaranteed you can come back.
So your other option was to get married.
Or he was like, you know, but you seem really repentant, and you and Sean have been dating a while. If you guys, like, work through the miracle of forgiveness and get married, like... Wow. I can look past it.
And,
wow.
And how old are you again? I'm sorry. You're 20?
I was 19.
19. Shit. So you don't even know who you are. You don't know. You're just listening to this old man tell you.
I was trusting him, and he's like, like, we had this whole meeting where I told him, like, all the things that I had done and, like, the fucking fucked up things that were done to me. That's just so crazy that I had to tell this man about this that I don't even know.
He was like jerking off underneath the pew or whatever.
They totally go home and like jerk off to. They ask you details they do not need to know.
See, this is egregious.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Just like,
in fact, there has been a petition like in the Mormon Church recently to have like to not allow bishops to be alone with kids when they're doing this, because
this really bad shit is happening in there.
And like, anyway, so can
Why are you talking about sexual things with a 15-year-old girl or boy with a 50-year-old man? Yeah. It's fucked up.
Yeah. It's like, it's not okay.
And so, it's like, did he pump in you or
what? Yeah, no, you're like, did you like it? Like, where did he touch you?
That right there, that's indication that he clearly is like feeling something.
So you decided to get married for the sake of like keeping this life that you had worked hard to earn.
And I couldn't tell Elise, we couldn't talk about it.
And so at this point, she's getting married and I'm like in the most depressed part of my life. I'm like, Danielle's coming home, just like crying in the shower in the middle of the night and like wandering around the streets. Like I was just like literally.
I've done that too, but like I was not trapped in Mormonism. I was just pathetic. So don't worry.
Weird thing. So I just remember being like, I am the most unhappy I've ever been, and I can't deal with like the like a huge part of me was just like, I don't believe this, I don't feel this. And so then I was like, I just need to go. So the next closest city is Salt Lake City, so my semester off, I just like hitched a ride to Salt Lake City, and I just like moved into a place with like
all no money. Where'd you find, how'd you have any money?
I held this.
Oh.
I held a hot and ready sign for Little Caesars.
No!
On the corner, she held hot and ready.
Yo, good for you.
Let me tell you.
You had the hustle.
Holy shit.
Aggressive comments that's the grind. She received. So then I moved into a new place, and it was like this like fucking like 8-room like mansion that was like run down and stuff, but it had like the most amazing people in it. Most of the people there were like ex-Mormons, which was so good for me.
We were gonna ask if you found communities of other people who left
to like help me, because it's so scary, because you're just like, I have to admit that everything I've believed my entire life is a lie, and what do I believe then?
So they were like willing to kind of like talk to you and listen.
So at that point, I was just like, I didn't even know. You know, it's like such a transition. It's like, at that point, I just stopped going to church because I knew I was unhappy.
And this is your semester off.
Kind of just exploring. Yeah. And I thought that maybe I'd go back,
But then as soon as it was time to go back to school, I knew I wasn't going back.
And are you talking to your mom at this time?
No,
or your
I
dad?
Wasn't telling them.
So did you just leave and not turn back?
Yeah.
It was like Whoa. A Tuesday, and she was like, I'm going to move to Salt Lake. And she was gone that Friday.
Danielle, back to your story.
Yeah.
You get married.
So I like get endowed and sealed in the temple.
And was it a party? Everybody's come. Did you come back for this party? Or?
Oh, yeah. But I wasn't allowed to go to the wedding because it's in the temple.
Whoa. So once you walk away, you're just not allowed to come back.
So I didn't tell anyone yet. They just thought that I was like taking a break from school.
It. Okay.
I moved to New York to like pursue my dream in like making music, and I started learning how to produce, and then I convinced Danielle to come live with me, and she's still married. So she
unhappily.
Yes, unhappily married. And I felt it, and I was like, I remember telling all my friends like, if I could wish for anything, it'd be my sister to leave the church. And I was like, I'm on it. She's going to move here.
Oh my God, baby, you prayed hard enough.
I know, baby.
Yeah, so like my husband had got a job in New York that, you know, that helped us kind of move here. Within 6 months, I asked to like separate from my husband. I like told
and also,
everyone
your guys' relationship was so
in...
toxic by this point.
It was,
because
his
anxiety and his like depression was like, through the roof, and he literally was like, he wouldn't leave her alone. He wouldn't let her go to the bathroom alone. He wouldn't let her be alone with me.
Oh, he's crazy.
Yeah, kept her phone in his pocket.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it got really, like, intense. And I feel bad because, like, he obviously had issues he needed to work out, which he did. But, like, he was just the weight on me. And I was like, oh, God, like, I gotta, like, I'm drowning.
Danielle
and
had
I
to do everything for him. Yeah. Like, fill out applications. Like, literally every single thing.
He was
like,
just so relying on you.
Completely reliant. Yeah. And I've heard this story when I've talked to other girls who have divorced and they have left the church. The same thing is, like, the men just rely so much on their partner. And it's crazy the pressure that a woman
Not
has
even
the
just
family.
Emotionally, but just...
Housewives low-key do all the heavy lifting.
Yeah,
like,
do.
That's why, for as much as I don't quote-unquote approve of that lifestyle, like, housewives work
so
hard.
Hard.
It is amazing how much baggage they're carrying on top of, like, daily activities and chores and tasks that they need to do.
It is the
and then people get, you know, mad when they're like, oh, I'd rather go back to work, you know. That's nice. Yeah. And they're like,
That's why men are like, yo, I'm gonna sit and stay in the office a little late. It's like, no, you're chilling watching YouTube because you don't want to have to deal with all this shit at home.
So you finally put your foot down and you were like, I can't do this
anymore. I just
can't
do this. Like, it was the most painful thing of, because I didn't want to hurt anyone. I just needed to breathe. Like, I just needed...
And again, you're so young.
Trying
to figure it out.
Just trying to figure shit out. And I was just like, I just need space. Like, I just need space and time. But it was the most, I mean, dramatic thing in the world. Like, I remember when I told him, like, he followed me up onto the roof and literally, like, fell flat face and, like, sobbed and screamed and, like, begged for me not to do it. For me to, like, keep, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, he... went through a lot after that, but it was like, I don't know how much even to say, but like,
whatever
I like
want.
Basically needed, I just need, I needed him to leave me because I could
I
not, it was like, you know, we're both drowned.
Down the day.
I was like, I want my sister back. Get out of here. Yeah. And then I just faced like, he left and then it was like, whew. So I asked Elise like after everything was like, you know, it'd been a while and like I felt like I had waited long enough that, you know, no one would judge me. And I was like, Elise, like I like kinda pushed her into like, I'm just so curious what it would be like to date again. Like
Tinder.
Da-da-da. Yeah, and she was like, let's make a Tinder. And I was like, what a good idea. Weird. I didn't think of that at all. And like so she made a Tinder and like when I first got on it, I did not understand it and I was just like, oh great, the like, you know, compared to my like having had to be married for 5 years, I was married for 5 years, I was like ready for some new D or pussy too. I was like, I'm bi, I came out to Elise, I was like, I like it all, like whatever. So just like, yes. Elise was like, stop. What are you doing?
Like, dude,
and I was like, what do you mean?
I had to say that to Graham one time before he found his girlfriend. Don't worry, we also had that conversation.
I was like, they
have some higher standards.
I'm like, whatever, like it's just meeting a new person. Elise was like, no, you're going to get like 20 matches. It's going to be overwhelming. And yeah, like it was like all of a sudden within the first few minutes, like
people were matching and super liking me.
They're like, yo, what's up?
And I just, I messaged them, like, immediately, like, hey, what's up? And Lisa's like, what are you doing?
You gotta wait.
The second you match. It was so cute. Like, Danielle, I came, like, a
so pure,
doughy-eyed deer, you know? Like, oh. And it, like, a part of me was, like, it was funny, too, because, like, the react, like, I asked her, I was like,
the way will anyone ever like me? Like,
oh,
would,
my God.
Will anyone ever want to date me?
Oh, my God.
You're, like, the most pure girl. Self-esteem was so low. Sweet.
Because, like, religion, like, just tears down your self-esteem so much. And but yeah, like, but I will say her react, like, the way she interacted with people was, like, so amazing. Like, people always, it would just always end up going well.
Yeah.
She would talk to strangers and it would, like, be really serendipitous. And I'm like, don't do that. Don't talk to strangers.
Yeah. I was
such, like, it was, like, the unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt in a way. It was like I had come out of the bunker and I was, like, really happy and enthusiastic and just, like, everyone's good and it's fine. And, like, I was just set free. Like, I had my life again, you know? But yeah, I was like, everyone's cool and I want to experience everything. And
so how many dates did you, your first date, what was that? Funny enough, really quickly, that's how Allie and I met.
We met on Tinder.
Oh my God, I've met some of my best friends on Tinder.
Yeah, in the very beginning.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, and we actually met on Tinder in the midst of, like, a very dark time for both of us in, like, different ways. Like, I was just serial dating for, like, emotional void filling. And it was just like, oh my God, I need new people, new experiences. And you, how would you describe how you were behaving? He really liked sex at that time.
Drugging, right? And drinking. Just, like, I really quit my job. I had a lot of money in my pocket, so I was just dating and having a good time.
Like, Tinder is, like, God bless. Right? Thank you, Jesus, for Tinder. Good.
Exactly. Yeah, and it doesn't always have to be, like...
No, I definitely made friends.
Yeah, your girlfriend, sexual experience. It could just be, like, your homies.
How did we never had dinner?
One of my best friends I met, it was, like, the second date that I had ever went on Tinder. It's funny, his name is Sean. I was like, I can't go out with a guy named Sean. Like, that was my husband's name.
So weird.
But you just said your husband's name the first time you said it. Anyways, okay. Oh no, I had said it. I said it earlier.
But,
like, we're still friends. But the first date, really funny. I was like, I didn't know, like, the world, like, what the world did. I just, like, heard from Mormons, like, what people in the world did. So I was like, oh yeah, like, you go on a Tinder date and, like, of course you fuck. Like, I just thought it was, like, a given that you fuck.
So the first
and
one
I was very excited. Yes. That guy, let me tell you, did I ever fuck him? I was like, let's go home. Like, we, like, went to, like, one bar, and I was like, I'm ready to go home. And he's like,
and he was like, oh,
he's like, oh shit.
He was, like, trying to play it cool. He's like, cool, like, do you want to, like, we could go to you. And I was like, no, I'm good to go home. And he's like, do you want to come to mine? I was like, great, yeah, sure. He's like, went straight to his, and I was like, this is the second person I've ever slept with. And I was like, you know, me and my husband, we experimented a lot. We were like, we tried to be, like, you know, on it or whatever. Uh-huh. Like, because I'm a very sexual person. I knew I always
ditto.
Was.
And everyone in this room, I think.
Yeah. I was like down for it. And so I was like, but I was so nervous. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna impress him. I'm gonna, like, I don't want him to know that, like, I was Mormon, that I don't know anything about sex. Mm-hmm. And so I just went buck wild. And this guy after was like, like, who are you? He was like, he was like, so.
I hope he showed up, like, too. So, you got what you wanted.
Like, what's your story? Oh, totally. Like we had a great time. And, sick. Like, I told him, I was like, yeah, so, like, I don't know if this is weird, but, like, you're the second person I've ever slept with. Don't worry. I just got divorced, and I, like, don't want to, like, attach myself to anyone. So, like, I just needed to, like, fuck someone else and, like, have a good time. And he was like, I just got divorced. And so we had this amazing conversation, like, stayed up, like, till, like, 2 in the morning,
sick
talking
night.
About our divorces.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And just, like, reminiscing over it. And he was great. And then he was like, after that, I was like, can we just be friends? And we were. And we met up at the bar, and we, like, he helped me talk about how he got his divorce finished and, like, all these things.
Okay, I need to make a controversial statement.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're both, but no. I really need to say this. Like,
all right, let's hear it.
I am atheist to my core, but like, if a God or some godly force exists, that's it.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah.
That you met a dude named Sean and you fucked your way to being liberated.
He was breaking
and he
nets.
Also got divorced. Like, if there is such a thing as, like, a higher power, that
dude,
is
and I
will
say, you know, there is, okay, so, like, I mean, the fact that we're on this planet, like,
there's got to be something else out there.
Alone.
Right?
I'm just saying, like, for I feel like Danielle and I were maybe on the same page with this. I feel like literally the idea that, I mean, the universe, everything is God to me. Like,
we are all
your God,
God.
I'm God. Like, this table's God. Like, it's just like we're all made up of the same molecules. Like, if you go down to the base of it, and like just the fact that it's like moving and continuing, and it's like going in a direction. Like, That
like, we are the Big Bang. Like, what created that energy has then created us and continues to...
And there
to,
were also millions of other galaxies and millions of other planets within those galaxies. So
sure
it's definitely
not
something.
The center of it, you know? It's not like God is
we're
a
not?
Human.
That's
no.
stupid,
Wait,
you know?
I'm not
it's
the
not
center
true.
Of the world?
Right. This dude in the sky.
Wait, what do you
like,
mean I'm not the no, center like, of the world?
I just think, yeah.
Oh my God!
If people need God to feel like there's meaning in life, then, you know, like... Then just realize that, like, you are God and, like, everything's God, you know?
Yeah,
just, like,
I
the
feel
fact
you.
That, like, we're here and we're existing. Like, there's this serendipitous moments, you know, these
it's
beautiful
true.
Moments.
Like,
that,
right now.
That you should cherish and you should realize, like, those things, like, yeah, like, it doesn't mean that I have to believe in a Jesus again. Like, who, by the way, had a foot fetish? Can I just say this? I've always been wanting to say this. Just
Jesus
pissing
had
all
a
those
foot
feet.
Fetish?
Jesus had a foot fetish when he's always washing the feet. You know, it's like when you're good, he's like washing their feet.
Oh my God. I don't even know this. I'm
right,
that
me
is
either.
Crazy.
Yo,
I want to comb through the Bible again and find all the freaky shit.
They all washed feet, but
so they
yes,
all have foot fetishes.
They all
they
have
were also
fetishes.
Having orgies in ancient times. They
yes.
loved orgies.
Yes.
They were like jizzing on each other's heads.
The
in
Greeks,
the fucking
they love that shit.
Totally.
They were all bisexual. Like they knew how to live.
Bless them.
The right way.
I agree.
And so you
yeah, what about
dating
you,
simultaneously? What's up with you?
Did you go nutty?
You had
okay,
a little
so
bit more
like,
experience.
So like I was just like, you know, trying to like get over like the fear of sex and like that guilt, and I did. And then New York, did Tinder as well. Mm-hmm. I dated a guy for a couple years, and then that ended. And then now I'm in an open relationship with my best fucking friend.
That's dope.
And we make music together. And it's like we're so happy. It's mm-hmm. almost gonna be like 3 years, and we're just like it's great.
Oh, I'm moist.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm so great.
So I would love to just kind of get a sense of like how all of this experience that we just talked about for the past hour has filtered into your guys' art. And both of you are sitting here aggressively nodding, which makes me think that yeah, you've got something to say.
Dude, no, we're so excited. We love this project. But yeah, like so. You know, like I said before, like I went through a really angry phase, and make music was such a nice way to translate that mm-hmm. to everyone. And I'm not as much in the angry phase anymore, but I still this is so much a part of me, even part of my language, part of the way I write everything. And I'm like, this is a story that I want to tell. You know, I want to. So Mother Mary is essentially, it started off being like a really sacrilegious, you know, band name, and I wanted to make like synth wavy art pop shit.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And. But then I was like, this is great, because I kind of want to rewrite the story of Mother Mary. Mother Mary, you know, Mary is like the holiest woman in Christianity, and she's literally, for her to exist is impossible. She gave birth to a god, and she's a virgin, which is impossible.
Yeah.
And women, we're held up to impossible standards all the time.
Yeah.
Like, we're a slut, or we're a prude, or we're, like, too bitchy, or we're too soft.
We talk about this every time we record a podcast, and it's this weird complex where it's, like, you're either a wife or a whore.
Yeah.
There's, like, nothing
it's
in between.
And I just wanted to, like,
or the
angel
in the house.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I want to, like, reclaim holiness for women.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of religions that, like, really deem women as like holy sacred beings, you know, in my sense of the
no
word.
No matter what they
but,
do, like,
yeah,
you can be sexual and still be like holy, and you know, and we're not meaning in a way that fucking religions mean holy, but in a more universal,
powerful way,
elevated, you
elevated,
know,
elevated.
That,
elevated.
That we are, yeah, that we are important, that we are special, that we are, you know, like in the same way that fucking all of us are as humans. Like we said, we're all gods. But it's just like women have been, and especially in Mormonism, we're second. You are just to have children and to nurture. That is your role.
And there's
and
no individuality, like, it seems mm-hmm. like, based on what you're saying. Like everybody's very much the same. So.
Yeah, so it's just like, no, I'm unique. I'm special. I can be a complex woman. I can be both.
And this,
like,
is all femme-identifying people.
Yeah, femme-identifying people. Everyone who feels this way, you can both be sexual and sexy and aggressive and powerful, and you can, on the other hand, be empathetic and emotional and forgiving and a good listener and kind and whatever you associate with, like, the typical femme thing, but you can be all of it. Like, it doesn't have to fit in this stupid cliche idea.
And what's honestly kind of amazing is that the imagery that you guys have settled on for your songs, which is very pink and glittery and like 70s inspired from what I can see.
It's like 80s, 70s.
It's amazing. And you encapsulate all of this so well, because you watch it and it's distinctly feminine and it's distinctly all of these traits that you associate with women, but it's like, you guys also look fucking hot, and you're like rolling around in like, you know, water and glitter and just like embracing your bodies and you're peacocking a little bit, but it really is remarkable how I'm sitting here and I'm just like nodding my head listening to everything you're saying, and I'm like, wow, y'all nailed that. You nailed it.
Thank
because
you,
I wouldn't even have to hear you say all this to know that that was the goal. And then you read your like little bio on your website, and it was like, yeah, we escaped Mormonism in Montana, and we're all about fighting the patriarchy. And I'm like, okay, I'm sold. Where's my merch?
I know, we need to come
coming
up with merch
soon.
we want like a really super high rise thin thong with like some
We never talked about like the secret Mormon temple stuff.
Oh yeah, secret Mormon temple.
That's usually like a question that people want to hear about.
Oh my god,
can
we save it and make people pay for it for the Patreon? Because we inevitably have to have a Patreon, and I feel like that's the kind of thing that I would want to make people pay
for.
Guys, if you guys want to hear the secret stuff that happens in the temple that no one's allowed to tell, and that you're basically threatened during the ceremony of death. Like, and I just did it. You're not watching the video. I just did like a cutthroat symbol. They literally used to do that. Death if you tell anyone. I'm gonna tell you guys. I'm gonna risk my life and tell you guys
your soul.
What happened.
All for $9.99 a month.
Once again, my degenerate angels, my name is Allie Weiss, and this has been another illustrious episode of Tales of Taboo. If you find yourself with a spare 30 seconds, which, if we're being honest, is less than the amount of time the CDC recommends washing your hands for, it would mean the world to me if you could leave a rating and a review on Spotify and iTunes. This is not a popularity contest, honestly. It's to help more new people discover my show so that I have a wider range of people to cast from when putting together future anonymous audience-sourced confession episodes. So have a heart. Take a moment to consider doing that. I'm really looking forward to seeing and hearing from you all next week. And until then, be good.